Chapters 10 to 13 of the Book of Mark, from the World English Bible. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. The Book of Mark, from the World English Bible, chapters 10 to 13. Chapter 10. He arose from there, and came into the borders of Judea and beyond the Jordan. Multitudes came together to him again. As he usually did, he taught them again. There came to him Pharisees testing him, and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a bill of divorce to be written and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "For your hardness of heart he wrote you this commandment, but from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause will a man leave his father and mother, and will join to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." In the house his disciples asked him again about the same matter. He said to them, "Whoever will divorce his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. If a woman herself divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." They were bringing to him little children that he should touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who were bringing them. But when Jesus saw it, he was moved with indignation and said to them, "Allow the little children to come to me. Don't forbid them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I tell you, whoever will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he will in no way enter therein." He took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. As he was going forth into the way, one ran to him, kneeled to him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except one, God. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, all these things have I observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, taking up the cross." But his face fell at that saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one who had great possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished, saying to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus, looking at them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to tell him, "Behold, we have left all and have followed you." Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, and for the gospel's sake, but he will receive 100 times now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." They were on the way, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going in front of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He again took the 12 and began to tell them the things that were going to happen to him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death and will deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and kill him. On the third day he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came near to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we will ask." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant to us that we may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." Jesus said to them, "You shall indeed drink the cup that I drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit at my right hand and at my left hand is not mine to give, but for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard it, they began to move with indignation towards James and John. Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that they who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant. Whoever of you wants to become first among you shall be servant of all. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." They came to Jericho. As he went out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him that he should be quiet, but he cried out the more a great deal, "You son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him." They called the blind man, saying to him, "Cheer up, get up, he's calling you." He, casting away his cloak, sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may see again." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Chapter 11. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go your way into the village that is opposite you. Immediately as you enter into it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Untie him and bring him. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs him,' and immediately he will send him back here." They went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the open street, and they untied him. Some of those who stood there asked them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They said to them, just as Jesus had said, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on him, and Jesus sat on him. Many spread their garments on the way, and others were cutting down branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Those who went in front and those who followed cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered into the temple in Jerusalem. When he had looked around at everything, it being now evening, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came to see if perhaps he might find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Jesus told it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered into the temple, and began to throw out those who sold and those who bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of those who sold the doves. He would not allow anyone to carry a container through the temple. He taught, saying to them, "Isn't it written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the scribes heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, for all the multitude was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, he went forth out of the city. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Jesus answering said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I tell you, whoever may tell this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says happens, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I tell you, all things whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions." They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they were asking him, "By what authority do you these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." They reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we should say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' If we should say from men," they feared the people, for all held John to really be a prophet. They answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said to them, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." Chapter 12. He began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, set a hedge around it, dug a pit for the winepress, built a tower, rented it out to a farmer, and went into another country. When it was time, he sent a servant to the farmer to get from the farmer his share of the fruit of the vineyard. They took him, beat him, and sent him away empty. Again he sent another servant to them, and they threw stones at him, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. Again he sent another, and they killed him, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore he had yet one, a beloved son. He sent him last to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those farmers said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." They took him, killed him, and cast him forth out of the vineyard. What, therefore, will the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the farmers, and will give the vineyard to others. Haven't you even read this scripture? "The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord. It is marvelous in our eyes." They tried to seize him, but they feared the multitude, for they perceived that he spoke the parable against them. They left him and went away. They sent some of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to him, that they might catch him in words. When they had come, they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are honest and don't defer to anyone, for you aren't partial to anyone, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." They brought it. He said to them, "Whose is this image and inscription?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Jesus answered them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." They marveled greatly at him. There came to him Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection. They asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us, 'If a man's brother dies and leaves a wife behind him, and leaves no child, that his brother should take his wife and raise up children to his brother.' There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying left no children. The second took her and died, leaving no children behind him. The third likewise. And the seven took her and left no children. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be of them? For the seven had her as a wife." Jesus answered them, "Isn't this because you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they will rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But about the dead, that they are raised, haven't you read in the book of Moses at the bush how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are therefore badly mistaken." One of the scribes came and heard them questioning together. Knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the greatest of all?" Jesus answered, "The greatest is, 'Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the primary commandment. The second is like this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Truly, teacher, you have said well that he is one, and that there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." No one dared ask him any question after that. Jesus responded, as he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said in the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet.' Therefore David himself calls him Lord, so how can he be his son?" The common people heard him gladly. In his teaching he said to them, "Beware of the scribes, who desire to walk in long robes and to get greetings in the marketplaces, and chief seats in the synagogues, and chief places at feasts. Those who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury, and saw how the multitude cast money into the treasury. Many who were rich cast much. There came a poor widow, and she cast in 2 lepta, which make a quadrans. He called his disciples to himself, and said to them, "Most assuredly, I tell you, this poor widow gave more than all those who are giving into the treasury. For they all gave out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on." Chapter 13. As he went forth out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, "See what kind of stones and what kind of buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone on another which will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? What is the sign that these things are all about to be accomplished?" Jesus, answering, began to tell them, "Be careful that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled, for those must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, there will be famines and troubles. These things are the beginning of birth pains. But watch yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues. Before governors and kings will you stand for my sake, for a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. When they lead you away and deliver you up, don't be anxious beforehand or premeditate what you will say, but say whatever will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end, the same will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter in, to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not return back to take his cloak, but woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babies in those days. Pray that your flight won't be in the winter, for in those days there will be oppression such as there has not been the like from the beginning of the creation which God created until now and never will be. Unless the Lord had shortened the days, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone tells you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look there,' don't believe it. For there will arise false Christs and false prophets, and will show signs and wonders, that they may lead astray, if possible, also the elect. But you watch. Behold, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that oppression, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then will they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then will he send forth his angels, and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the sky. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When the branch has now become tender, and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. Even so you also, when you see these things coming to pass, know that it is near, at the doors. Most assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things are accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or that hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but only the Father. Watch, keep alert, and pray, for you don't know when the time is. It is like a man travelling to another country, having left his house and given authority to his servants, and to each one his work, and also commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch, therefore, for you don't know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether at evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he might find you sleeping. What I tell you, I tell all. Watch. End of chapters 10 to 13.